Last Sunday night, David Cranfield said, "Will you meet me at the BP tomorrow morning at 7:45? No, well, it's 7:45. Well, at 7:30, I go up to the farm and tell my nephew that, and he said, "How do you feel?" I said, "I feel just fine." He said, "Well, do you know the signs of your face is drooping a little bit?" And he said, "You had some doctor." I called the doctor and took, so he said, "Go to the emergency room right away." The first question they asked me, "What did you eat this morning?" Well, I didn't eat anything at home because I was going to meet David.
Right. Yeah.
And everything turned out fine.
Well, that's great.
Back here.
That's great.
I felt good when they tried to kill me in the hospital. I said, "I wish they had Danny there to use him pincushion show."
A lot of scary things happen like that, don't they? But that's, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. All right. Any other testimonies? Other than the Lord's good?
I'm just thankful, too, that He has been really good to us. It's funny how just simple things that you're trying to do, that when you take a moment and just give God the glory for it.
Right.
How easy something is.
That's what we're to do. Yes.
It's in all parts of your life. It's not just in you know, trying to read your Bible or testimonies, but it's in, even in the habits that you have, that you, like me, I get out in the yard and do stuff, I work, whatever. And been working on this thing we call the schooliest, you know, the one of the old buses we're fixing up to camp in. And I was working on it, and it just seemed like everything was just, you know, my arms look like I've been in a battlefield because I'm trying to put a set of clothes in it. Finally, I just had to stop and said, "Lord, look, this thing is beating me to death.
Yeah.
It's cutting me all to pieces trying to get in there to get through everything." And it just seemed like every time something like that happened, the Lord would just intervene and everything would start going
good.
And I think a lot of times if we just stop and recognize it.
I think you're right.
Just the big things, but just the little things.
Yep.
I think you just realize how much He really helps you and takes care of you.
Yes, He does.
I know you're going to have prayer requests. I'm going to go ahead and say this. You know, we've been praying for Tim and for the children and
right.
stuff. It's amazing to me, and I still say it, I still believe it, I'm not going to back away from it. God's fixing to do something big because the devil is really trying to fight.
Yeah.
And he is, his ex-wife is just making things very hard and almost impossible. But like I told him, I said, "With God, nothing's impossible."
Right.
So with all this that's going on, things that she's trying to do and claim and all this stuff, I think the devil is really trying to fight because I think he knows what's fixing to take place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really believe God's fixing to take him out of that situation. I really do. And I'm going to thank Him for it.
Yes. Good. Good. I want to take a minute. I woke up around 5 o'clock this morning, and somebody had sent me a message, a sermon, and it's by Nick Serino, who's out of our church in Rochester. Jerry and Robin know him. He's a missionary up in Alaska, and the things that he went through, and it says the title was "The Wonder of God," and it gives his testimony, different things that have happened in his life, and how that he's kept the Lord first in his life. His 14-year-old son, when he was up there, tried to kill himself, took a rifle, and shot himself in the head. He immediately heard the shot, went in there, and of course his son's laying there bleeding and looked like he was dead. And he prayed immediately. He says, "Lord, if he's not saved, please Don't let him die. And soon as he said that, he took a breath. The kid lived. His left arm is useless, and he has a bad left leg. And he was very angry because he didn't complete the job. 10 years later, that kid called his father. His father was in Syracuse to visit his parents. And his son said, "Dad, I got saved." And his words are, you know, how a Yankee talks. Yeah, right, I've heard that before. And he says, "No, Dad, I got saved. I went to Brother Dutton's church, and he led me to the Lord," which is another man out of our church in Rochester that's up in Alaska, also a missionary. We had 4 missionaries going to Alaska out of that church. Amazing. And the stories that they have to tell. But he says he got saved, and he's waiting for his father to get back so he gets baptized. Not only that, but the kid says, later on, he says, "I feel like I need to go to Bible school." So he went down to Florida, Landmark Baptist. He graduated there, and he learned Italian. He's now a missionary in Italy. The Lord is tremendous. It's unbelievable that we take for granted in our lives each day. It was just, I says, what am I going in and teach? You know, me, where I come from, what I am. I know me, and I'm going in there. I felt so unworthy. But I says, "Lord, if that's all you got to work with, use it." So it was a great testimony for me, and I'm sure it was good for those two to hear some of the things coming out of our church in Rochester. All right, anyone else?
John, I want to thank the Lord. Believe me, there is a God. Believe me, He still answers prayer.
Yes.
Last Sunday, I was having some medicine issues, and I just couldn't get energy. Well, a lot of prayer this week. God answered my medical problems, my financial problems, and He has blessed me.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord answers prayers.
Yes. I just would like to request prayer for Grace and Zeke. They are my cousins. They're about 8 and 10. And we went to the Ark this week. And their mother was raised in Catholicism.
Yeah.
She's not a practicing Catholic, but there's a lot of domestic issues going on between her and her ex-husband, and trying to turn family members against family.
Yeah.
But we've tried to live a good example for them and to pray for those kids. And we pray for her too. But at the Ark, I mean, they just kind of laid it out there. They just laid it out, you know, pre-flood, what was happening, and then redemption and salvation through Jesus Christ. And they were asking a lot of good questions. So it touched their hearts. It scared them. I mean, I don't want it to be scary for them, but it kind of brought to light some issues and some situations. But then it offered that blessed hope.
Yeah.
So if you would, just remember Grace and Zeke.
All right. Remember that as you go to prayer. And that's another thing. The Lord will deal with me in, you know, prayer time. How much time do I spend in prayer? Real prayer, you know, from the heart. And that message was so convicting to me. I might even get saved. Who knows? You know. But anyway, who else? Ben.
Prayer request for a sister-in-law up in Indiana we visited. She has a lot of health problems, but right now her biggest problem is depression. So that she gets into this situation where she just won't do what she needs to do. She just wants to stay in the bedroom and sleep. So she's really in a bad way. She needs prayer.
Okay. We'll surely pray for her.
Obviously, I would like y'all to keep my children in prayer and what they're going through down there.
Okay.
But, you know, there's times that I think about it and I really need to keep their mother in prayer.
Okay.
And she definitely needs some help in her life.
We'll sure do that.
Help with all the situations. So.
We sure will. Like to see families being families. All right, anyone else? Jim.
Thank the Lord for his grace. It's cold. So we're here. God measures that. So much grace for you, doesn't it?
Yep.
Gives you just what you need. It's measured, he's measured out a lot for me this week. So thank you for that.
All right. Anyone else? All right, plenty to pray about. How about Danny? Pray for us, please.
Oh, merciful Lord, thank you so much for the day to come to our church and to worship you, and to thank you for all the blessings we have in this life. Father, you've heard these prayers and requests that have gone out. People's hearts are broken and just pieces for family and for friends and for all these people that mean so much to us individually, Father. We trust, Father, that you'll do what is right because we know you're the righteous God. And you will answer these prayers that you will get the glory. Father, we just pray for all the prayer requests that have gone up, Father. How we know how we would like to see them answered and so that you can get the glory. But Father, we feel so helpless at times.
Yes. Yes.
And that's when we ought to be relying on the Lord. Just like Ms. Jewett told that doctor when he told her that medical science had done all it could, it's in God's hands. She told him that it's always been in God's hands. Mm-hmm. We just have to learn to keep our hands off of it. But Father, we just want to come to you and just praise you. So many times, Father, we get caught up in this life doing the things that we think we need to be doing, and we ought to be just having our heart open to the Lord and just taking our time and thanking you and praising you and just above all things, Father, just giving you the praise for all the joys and blessings we have in this life. So we just ask that you bless John with all his preparation he's poured into this lesson that you've given him to give to us. Help us to apply it to our lives and help us to be better people. For Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We were dealing last week. We started in Genesis 6. And we saw how God sees man, the wickedness of man. And he ended up bringing forth the flood. And how it drowned out all flesh upon the earth. And as I tell you, if you ever have any questions, don't be afraid to ask me. And I'll see if I can find the answers if I don't know them. And one of the questions that came up is, did the fish die also? Because God said all the flesh will die. So my normal answer is, of course not. The fish are in the ocean, in the waters, they're not going to die. But I wanted to get some scripture to back up what I say, because I want to not to just come out with my thoughts, but I want scripture to back it up. So I did some research, and some of you may already know this. Genesis 6, God said that the end has come to all flesh right now. So the fish have flesh, so you assume they're going to go too. But let's take a little deeper look. So God drowned out all the humans, the animals, and even the mutants. And we're gonna touch on that. I'm gonna throw some stuff out about the mutants and the sons of God that hopefully will provoke your thinking in the Word of God. And you say, well, why do we look at these things? What's important about these things that we're studying, the sons of God and their cohabitating with the women of the earth? Because it is in the Bible. It's not anything to do with salvation, but God commanded us to study the Word of God. And that's part of it. As long as you don't get all involved in these off-subject things, that you learn and you can grow thereby, as it says in Peter. So God drowned out all the humans, the animals, even the mutants. But what about the creatures of the sea? Noah's Ark, we don't read about him having an aquarium on there for the different fish. So we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another of flesh of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds. So we have every class of fish in the water. So here's another interesting thing. God said He'd destroy all flesh, and we wondered, does that include the fish? And then we see in Genesis 7 how God describes destroying all flesh. He does not mention fish, but He mentions the birds, the creeping things. Too bad He didn't keep the creeping things out after the flood too. All those spiders and the worms and snakes that especially the females love. He should have kept them out for our ladies. But he destroyed all those. And it says in Genesis 7, 21 through 23, all flesh died that moved upon the earth. That's the catch there, moved upon the earth. Both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. So verse 21 says, all the flesh that moved upon the earth. No fish are mentioned, as I said. Fish do not breathe air. I don't know how it works, through their gills or whatever it is, that they survive. So we see that that's the answer there. And we see in Genesis 1, when God created, that He called the dry land earth. Further backing up He destroyed everything upon the dry land, upon the earth, and the earth and the dry land are the same thing. So, now what happened? Here's off of what we're studying, but it'll give you provoke some thought. What happened to the sons of God? Were they all killed? Did any of them survive? Now, were they able to, because you read afterwards that there's a remnant of the giants after the flood. Now, where did they come from? As you study the Word of God, now don't get the white jacket for me just yet. As you study the Word of God, you're going to find out that these sons of God not only cohabitated with the women of the earth, but they also went with the animals and produced some things. Now, we see in Greek mythology especially, you see the centaurs, the satyrs, the mermaids. Now, where do you think they got these ideas from? People didn't just reach them in their mind. I personally think that they were real and that it's an offspring of the sons of God cohabitating with animals also, which produce these things. Now, I may be wrong. We'll find out at the judgment seat. But how did they survive? Because you find the remnant of them after the flood. A remnant is some of the giants, okay? It means leftover. How the leftover survived. And I believe, based on what I've read from the Word of God, that they survived under the water. Okay? Here we go. If I could, I'd shut off the tape. But you find out now, today, the UFOs, where are they mainly found? When they go down into the water, into the ocean area, I believe that that's where these UFOs are coming from. Not outer space, but in the water. What happened when the devils were cast into those pigs in Jesus' day? They run to the water. The devils, you find two places where they're very active. In the water, near the water, or in space. But mainly the water. So that's just some food for thought for you. And I believe that's how they survived. And you have that remnant after the flood. So who knows? We'll find out one day. But it's interesting when you read some of this stuff. Deuteronomy 2:20 says that also accounted for the land of the giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time. This is before the flood. And the Amorites called them Zamzumans, a people great and many and tall, and the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before and succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. And also, you know, you look at chapter 2 and verse 10, the Emans dwelt in time past, people great, many, and tall as Anakins. Now, we're talking about these giants aren't just 6-7 foot tall people like we see on the basketball court today. You look at Og. You've read about Og in the Old Testament. His bedstead was 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. 9 cubits is about, according to the Jewish way of a cubit, is about 13 feet. So can you imagine a guy 13 feet foot tall and 4 cubits wide? 4 cubits is about 6 foot. That's a big dude. And God had Moses and later Joshua wipe these people out. How do you fight a guy that big? Only through the power of God. I fought a guy one time in the judo tournament. He had to be 6'6". I had to reach up to grab him, and I'm 6'5". Or no, 5'6". Yeah, and I had to reach up to grab his gi. I felt like a midget. Well, compared to him, I was. But anyway, you know, you have to depend on the Lord when the Lord tells you to do something. And that we can apply to our lives today. What does the Lord tell us to do from His Word? That's why we got to read, study, and apply the Word of God to our lives. So that we're in the proper relationship with God. We're obedient to the Lord. And as I always say, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit of God within you to control your life. Enough of that. Anyway, that's how they survived. And hopefully we can, if we're interested, when we get to the judgment seat and just past that, we can review the films and see what went on. But then, when we get that far, we'll have the mind of Christ. We'll know everything anyway. So we won't have to worry about that. So last week, we seen how God seen man and how he was. And we left off that he knew man by his state. And we saw the wickedness of man and how corrupt it was. And that's why he brought forth the flood. And then he seen man by his practice. Genesis 6, 11, verses 11 and 12. We've seen that. And then you get comparative verses and you run Psalms 14, 2 through 4. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And we think of that today. When God looks down on man today, you see how corrupt it's become just in the last year. I can't believe I seen an ad for a television show coming up, a series, and it says Kevin can go F himself. On TV, we not used to have it on signs outside, and now it's becoming acceptable. And our kids today, what chance do they have if they're not saved, their parents aren't saved, and don't teach them any morality? It's unbelievable. It blows my mind when I think about this stuff.
John, just for food for thought too. It's not only those that are the adult type material, but Tim can testify. We try to control very much when kids are in the house. What watch what they watch, so we
right.
can see what it's like. And some of the little cartoons that they enjoyed watching can teach a lot of bad behavior.
Yeah, and make it look glorifying.
Yeah, and we could see what it was in the minds of Chloe and Christopher, how it was making them. And
yeah,
some of them, we just had said, no, they're not going to watch this. This is
And in the cartoons, they've got the wizards, witches, and magical stuff. What's it teaching our kids today? Unbelievable. It is. Verse 3, they have all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? What a wicked, evil place we're talking about. And we're seeing it more and more today. You know,
where were you at?
That was Psalms 14, verse 4. We'll be going to Job. Yeah, I'm going to get a job. Job 15. When I was a kid, growing up in the inner city, you know, it was different than growing up in the country and so forth. And one time I called a kid His name was Chucky, and I it was a word that rhymed with Chuck. And he says, "I'm telling you, you're old man." I said, "No, no, don't do that," because I knew what would happen. My father had a belt that he wasn't afraid to use when he was home. And usually, he used it on me. I don't know why. I tell people all the time, I'm a good boy. And I started when I was back then, 6, 7 years old, I was a good boy. People are so sick of hearing that, but I want to reinforce it, just so you know. And then Job 15, verses 14. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water? And that shows as a lost person grows, the iniquity that they consume. Iniquity, remember, is not sin. It's a thought going into your mind. Can I do this? Can I get away with this? Boy, she looks great. I would like, and you know, all things like that. It's a thought that leads you to sin. So what's going on? More and more is coming into the minds today. That's why we've got to be careful, even as adults, older adults, the things that pop up on TV, the advertisements on your computer screen, hit the wrong button, and it's there. It's there. And when it's there, it's in your mind. Try and get it out of your mind once you see it. It's hard. It's very difficult. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6 says, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more." That's how man is. A lost person will revolt more and more. And the more he gets away with, the more he'll become involved in different things. Not only a lost person, as I've said in the past, a saved person can become involved in sin so much that God will sear the conscience of that person. And they'll be no different than a lost person, and probably even worse. So we need to be careful. And I can't help but think the testimony of Nick Serino, the one I told you about I listened to this morning. Up there in Rochester at that time, we did a lot of crazy things as a church. We had what's called, what's the wall they walked around?
Jericho.
They had a Jericho week. We had the people going through the neighborhoods, leaving a track every day. And then at the end of the week, we would go to the houses and witness to that person. You know, you get the responses. You know, up north, it's a little different than down here. Hey, I don't want to be bothered. I'm a Catholic. I was born a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. Okay, so you have that. But we did things like that. And we would have special days where we'd open it up to the people and of the neighborhood or the city and come in and then have something there and then have preaching for them. And it was great. We reached a lot of people. And it's exciting. And when you get out and you get witnessing, you have an opportunity every once in a while to lead someone to the Lord. And that is a thrill. That is a real thrill. And you feel like, yeah, you get out of their sight and you want to do backflips and you're so happy. And you encourage them to come in and start learning the Word of God. And then when you win someone to the Lord and you see them begin to grow, that's a real thrill. A real thrill. So anyway, we were in Job. What is man that he should be clean? He that is born of a woman, and hopefully you're all born of a woman. I told you, my son called us when he was in the military. He was at Area 51.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I might have told you before, and my wife answered. He says, "Mom, I'm where they made Dad." And, you know, so it's you know just thrilling. But don't be surprised. Anyway, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more, as I read. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint, and it's a heart condition in our lives. Not the physical part, but the heart condition, our love for the Lord. And how we apply the Word of God to our lives. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, that they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Can you picture that? It's even worse than the people over there that have that disease where the skin falls off them. You've got running sores that aren't, and that's how God sees us in sin, as even as a lost person. That's what we are in His sight. What a amazing sight that is, isn't it? Can you ladies picture yourselves fixing yourself up with running sores, putrefying, and the guys in front of the mirror thinking how good looking they are, and just sores running, putrefying, stink. That's how God sees us as a lost person. And that's how we should have an attitude, that a lost person is in that condition, and we should have a love for them, a love that will reach out to them. Okay? So that's what we should do. Then Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Boy, what a testimony that is. Then Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities had separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Now, to reinforce what I said earlier, iniquity and sin are two different things. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's your thought life. You're preparing for sin. You're thinking about sin. And then that's a separation. And then when you actually commit that sin, He hides His face from you, that He will not hear. Now, can we apply that to today, where if we get involved in sin, God's going to hide His face from us and not hear our prayers? Could we apply that? Is that why 1 John 1:9 is in there? Confess your sins, even though doctrinally where it applies. Is that so that we stay right with God and not get involved in sin and end up deeper and deeper in sin? Things to think about. Psalms 51:5, David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Isaiah 53:2-3, "The tongue deceiveth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than speak righteousness. Selah." Selah, most of you know, and if you don't, it's a musical term. It means pause, take a second, listen, pay attention to what was said or sung or whatever it is. So pay attention. Whenever you see that word Selah, God wants your attention there. Then Romans 3, 10 through 19, familiar verses to us all. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And here we're dealing with lost people now. And we can apply it to the saved person when he gets in sin, doesn't want to hear from God, doesn't want to read his word. The Holy Spirit will convict him and he'll not pay attention to it. So practically we can apply it there. They have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. That's something you do not want as a believer. You do not want to become unprofitable to the Lord. Because he will set you on a shelf and forget the blessings in your life then. Forget praying. You're done until you get right with the Lord. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues have used deceit. The poison of asp is in their under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. For there is no fear of God before their eyes. And you've seen that over the years. No fear. No fear.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And you better not be applying that to God. You know. You want to play the tough guy and okay, do that. But when it comes to the Lord, you better not get to the point where you don't fear the Lord. Because He'll deal with you. Now, we know that the things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And then we'll pick up next week the hopelessness and helplessness of man by nature and God's warnings that he gives us through that. But for today, keep your life right. Keep your heart right. Allow the Lord to deal with you. And the only way you can do that is through His Word. And remember to pray. Take the time. It's not something that's a burden to you. You should rejoice in that you have the privilege to call upon the Lord for whatever. Whatever it is. All right, Floyd, pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, that we've come this morning, dear Lord, to hear your word being taught. We do pray, Father, we'll take what we've heard, what we've learned, dear Lord, we'll apply it to our lives. And Father, that would help us to walk, Lord, a little bit straighter, a little bit better, Lord, in this life. We pray you'll continue to watch over all the prayer requests that's been lifted up. Pray that you will meet each one, Lord, according to your will. Bless the morning service now, Lord. Help the preacher make everything as easy as possible. But Lord, please allow your Holy Spirit to move
yes.
and do what it needs to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.